Hello everybody, welcome to the start of the American Grand Prix in Austin, Texas. You're here with me, Rich, and my dad is over there. Say hi, Dad.
Hello there.
He's back again. Last time he was on one of these commentaries, it was a crazy start. I can't remember what happened, but I think the Mercedes crashed, probably. We've got some beer, we've got some nuts, we've even got some pork scratching, so we're ready to enjoy the race. It's going to be a big first corner. If you remember last year, Hamilton did quite an aggressive move on Rosberg. Bit of tyre contact and things going on. This time Rosberg starts second, so it'll be interesting to see if he does the same back. The last cars are now lining up on the grid. They're now snaking Burnham out into position. And here we go. Last car's just pulling in now. And we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 red lights on. And it's go! And, both Mercedes get away well. Rosberg ducks straight behind Hamilton, but, I think Ricciardo's going to have the inside on Rosberg. Is he? He's having a look. Hamilton still leads. Hamilton still leads. Yes, and, there's a few cars wide, but it's between Ricciardo and Rosberg for second at the minute. They're side by side. The camera's gone, so I can't really tell you what's going on. But, yeah, Ricciardo's got it. Or Ricciardo, I should say. I'm sorry, Michael, don't hate me. But that is really going to be big for the championship. Is Rosberg going to lose it? Well, what a start. Let's watch it and see what happens. Boosh. Good evening. Welcome to the Rush Cutters Pub. You're here, me, Rich, and Steve is here as well.
Hello.
We're here without Michael because he's not very well. Get well soon, Michael. But we're here to give you our thoughts on the American Grand Prix. Do you want to kick us off, Steve?
Yeah, I thought the race wasn't too bad. It had some sort of good moments, but then I don't know about you, Rich, but I thought halfway through it, the last half certainly sort of dragged a bit, just seemed to sort of lose a bit of momentum, I thought. But I thought the first sort of half of the race was the better bit, as you just sort of said, you know, and we had some good overtakes I can recall, and you know, a few sort of tense moments, and it wasn't too bad. I'd probably give the race at this stage probably about 6 out of 10 or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd agree with that. I mean, it had almost the makings to be really good, but then it kind of simmered away. It didn't kind of come up to the boil, so to speak. Because, I mean, with right at the start, I mean, Ricciardo getting into second place ahead of Rosberg, I thought, is this going to be suddenly like a season-turning moment for Rosberg? Is he going to struggle? And he kind of seemed to be losing it with his team as well on the radio, because he was saying, pushing now isn't a long game and stuff. I thought that was quite interesting, really.
Yeah, considering, Rosberg doesn't actually have to win any races, and he can afford, I think, a third and a fourth in some of the races, as long as he obviously, you know, maintains the sort of second places and things like that. So, yeah, I thought it was a little strange, you know, bearing that in mind and early on in the race as well. But, yeah, I mean, it was a good... I thought, like, the start, everyone was consistent. Nobody really got ahead of anyone initially. They all started about the same, because I was sitting there thinking, is Hamilton going to go first? You're about sixth.
Yeah.
You know, that was my initial sort of thoughts. Then when they all got off cleanly, and then, say, Ricciardo, sort of probably got about the same sort of start as Rosberg, but I think managed to just tuck in behind him and, you know, sort of just about get in front of him before the first corner, I think it was, wasn't it? Which was pretty neat.
Yeah, it was pretty much like that, because I think Rosberg ducked straight in behind Hamilton, realising they got an even start. And then kind of Ricciardo just seemed to try and go for the inside line. He managed to hold on through turn 2 and 3. Because I don't know if you saw the bit, but there was a replay of Rosberg, and he just seemed to kind of back out of it. He didn't seem to be committed into trying to hold it inside. I don't know. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. My first thoughts was when I saw that was that he was kind of just being a little bit safe and sort of thinking, well, I don't at this stage need to do anything too hot. I need the points. I can be consistent. I don't necessarily need to win this. That was my thoughts on that one. But I think he always kind of knew that over the race distance, as long as he could keep the tabs on him, he would probably eventually get past him. And, you know, whether that was with the strategy, which it worked out to be in the end, or just better pace.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was quite interesting, really. Do you think he'll win the championship this year? Or do you think Hamilton can still bring it back?
Well, I mean, as Murray Walker would say, anything can happen in Formula One. I think it sort of looks at a sort of a dead cert, really, probably a good betting tip. that Rosberg will now win it. But I mean, there's 26 points between him. I mean, it only takes a DNF to really throw that right down to one, or maybe a few more points than that, depending on what Hamilton does. So you never know. I mean, we've got that strange sort of fact that he won the British Grand Prix and he wins the championship, you know, in that season as well. But I think that one might be undone by the end of this season. I think it's kind of Rosberg's to lose, really. But I'm still a bit sort of sceptical about sort of Hamilton's engines and reliability, to which he's alluded to anyway. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I was sat there watching the last probably 20 minutes, half hour of the race, pretty much just waiting for Hamilton's engine to blow up. It's kind of got to that stage now. You're just almost expecting it. But I mean, at least Mercedes did, you know, managed to hold on, and they got another one too, which I suppose is a bit boring, but still kind of keeps the season interesting-ish. But
yeah,
a bit of luck along the way as well with that, because they had that safety car period, didn't they? The virtual safety car from Verstappen, and then they got a free pit stop.
Yeah, because Ricardo's radio message was quite funny on that radio. I think there was a few bleeps in there. It was sort of, oh, they basically got a free pit stop then. And they were like, yeah, afraid so. And he was just like, oh, for whatever sake, you know. I think they still would have beaten them anyway, beaten Red Bull. Red Bull have come a long way, but I think it's, you know, it's still Mercedes. Raw pace is still there, I think, really.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting actually next year, because how much closer Renault have come in 2 years. I mean, even this season they've closed right up compared to last year, so that'll be quite interesting, I think, for next year.
Yeah, I think, like, my sort of just brief thoughts on next year, I think it'd just go one, with regards to those two teams, I think it'd just go one of two ways. It could either just end up being another domination period for Mercedes, where they sort of, the reason why they've dropped off a little bit, you know, in terms of the gap this season, is because they've been working on next season, or it'll just swing round the other way and you'll find Mercedes trying to play catch up to maybe someone like Red Bull, which, you know, I think that might end up being the one, but who knows.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there, definitely. So it's quite an interesting weekend really for Red Bull as well, because Verstappen had a really strange failure. I mean, I don't know what happened. Have you heard anything, what it was at all? Or?
No, I haven't managed to find anything, which makes it a little even more bizarre, because, I mean, he sort of didn't lose power, of the engine, because, I mean, it was still sort of running from what I could gather, unless he had switched off and was coasting down the hill. But he just, I think it probably sounded to me more like a gearbox, but yeah, it was just a bit of a strange sort of failure, really. I don't know, because I found it quite ironic that Christian Horner said in the race where Hamilton last had a DNF, and he sort of said, oh, it was Red Bull, it was our team that caused that to happen, because we were pushing them so hard. And I sort of thought, well, it's swung round now, isn't it? Because you were pushing hard to chase down the Mercedes that you said you could race, and one of your engines or gearboxes perhaps has gone pop. But it was a bit strange, really. But so I think they could have really pushed Rosberg, the pair of them, you know, to those final places on the podium, because otherwise they're having pretty good race. Well, Verstappen was having a pretty good race up until that point, I thought, really.
Yeah, and I thought it was, I don't know if it was like some sort of electrical issue, because he came into the pits just before and there was no one ready, and they said, oh, you know, what happened there? And he said, I thought you called me in. So I wonder if he had like a thing flash up in his dash saying pit or something like that, but not a radio message. Yeah, and that could have been some electrical issue that then messed with the transmission, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that actually now. With the strange sort of pit stop where they bundled out in a hurry. But yeah, I mean, because I think on the radio he said, oh, I thought you said pit. But then I don't know whether they were planning on like pitting the next lap or something or other, and he misunderstood the message, or whether he thought he heard something and they actually said nothing, or whether they were doing it electronically, and I don't know, because I think they can send sort of messages through on the dash, I think
now they can.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just a little bit strange. I don't know whether that was unrelated to the failure or linked in with it, but we've heard nothing, so we're none the wiser, really.
No, I mean, that weekend in general, I mean, Verstappen behind both Ferraris, then Ricciardo got third, but he could have had second really if luck had gone his way.
Yeah, I mean, another good strong race for Ricciardo, really, another podium finish. You know, I mean, he's considering it wasn't that long ago that we were sort of talking about the new boy Verstappen in Red Bull, main team, you know, showing up what it's meant to be, perhaps the lead driver there in Ricciardo, but it's now all swung round. You know, he's really sort of showing how it is done, you know, and it's actually been really consistent, you know, with everything, to starts, to pace, to qualifying, you know, it's... You know, he's really turned it around in that respect. So yeah,
it would be interesting to see. I don't know the figures. Maybe Michael can look it up when he's editing or something. But the exact podiums each of them have had this year, because I think that could be quite close. I expect Ricciardo's edging it though.
Yeah, I should imagine probably Ricciardo will edge, because not only his form recently, but because obviously when Verstappen was at Toro Rosso before, he probably would have had a few more opportunities to get some putt. Maybe, but it could be quite close. I should imagine he probably does edge it slightly.
Hello, Rich. Ask and you shall receive. I can tell you that both since Max Verstappen joined Red Bull, he has won one race, finished second four times, and third once. While Daniel Ricciardo, again, since Max Verstappen joined the team, has won one race, come second four times, and come third twice. One third place more than Max is the only difference. Whew, how about that?
Ferrari as well, they also, like, on the same subject of weird retirements, Raikkonen had a really strange one, but the gun was still on, but the wheel seemed to be fine, and then they told him to stop, even though it seemed to be okay. I don't know if that was loose or what. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, it was another sort of strange thing, because I still haven't been able to find anything out about that either. But it sort of, initially, I sort of thought, oh, you know, the wheel's not on fully, because we've seen that happen before. But normally you would sort of either see it fly off or wobble about, you know, but we didn't see any of that. And I was sitting there thinking, well, are they sure it's not just fine? But you know, there must have been some sort of issue, because I mean there is a whole sort of safety thing. If you send the car out on the track knowing that there could be a safety issue and a wheel comes off and all that, you know, because we can never really forget with what happened with sort of Massa and, you know, things like that. So yeah. I think they were probably playing a bit safe there, but he might have been able to continue without any problem to the end of the race, who knows. But with, yeah, again, with no information being said about it, we're none the wiser.
Yeah, true. I suppose that you kind of have to give credit to the team for actually telling the driver to stop and not risking him going on track if they weren't sure the wheel was actually on. Because, I mean, there was a cameraman a few years ago, I can't remember if that was Ferrari or not, it might have been Red Bull actually, but the wheel bouncing down the pit lane and took a cameraman out.
Yes.
And so that was, yeah.
Yeah, very, very true. Yeah, I mean, it's a big call, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people sort of think, well, you know, if you're going to retire from a race, it's not too often, does that really matter? But everything matters in Formula One. You know, the consistency, there's more money there to be had from that, from prize money and so on and so forth. Sponsorship gets involved with all of that. So it's critical, really. Even a team that isn't fighting for a championship, they're still fighting for other things there. So, yeah, it's just a big decision to sort of say, we're not happy, stop.
And what I loved as well, actually, when Raikkonen got out of the car and was walking down the pit lane again, was there was a cameraman behind him following him. And Raikkonen literally just turned and looked at him, kind of looked up and down, just like, what are you doing? And then just turned around. I thought he was going to punch you or something. It's funny moment.
Yeah, for someone who's nicknamed the Iceman.
Yeah,
it's quite interesting. Yeah, I sort of, a quick glance, I saw that and thought, oh, blimey. Yeah, that might have been something you'd expect from maybe Alonso when he was at Ferrari. He was a bit fiery then. But yeah, not really from the Kimster or the Iceman, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. That was a bit strange. And then Vettel, I mean, just didn't really see much of him this weekend. I don't really know what was going on, but he's changed a lot and he doesn't seem that happy at Ferrari at the minute.
I don't think he is. I mean, I think that's part of a much, much bigger story. It's strange, really, because what Fernando Alonso was brought in to, maybe on a promise or whatever, into Ferrari, and how that just went sour. And I just strangely see the same pattern happening, you know, with his kind of replacement, really, in Vettel, in terms of that they promise that he'll have the car to fight for wins and championships in a number of seasons, and this just hasn't happened. They just don't seem to be going any further forward. I mean, maybe next year we'll get a surprise and they'll be absolutely alight. but I have my doubts. You know, he seems to be getting sort of frustrated. I suppose he's not really used to not really winning or fighting at the front. Because, I mean, he left Red Bull with four championship-winning seasons behind him so early on in his career. So, yeah, I mean, he had another strange race. I mean, he didn't really seem to have that much pace, I thought, really. I mean, they said about they had some problems with his rear wing. I think there was some debris that was collecting on it. I couldn't quite make out the radio transmission right on that. But they brought him in for that really late pit stop just to change tyres, I think on like the second from last lap or something like that. And I just sort of thought, it's a bit strange. You know, he had a free pit stop, if you like, but he had that much of a gap behind him. I thought, what was the point? You know, might as well have just stayed out there for what it was worth. But hey ho.
Yeah, I mean, putting new tyres on 2 laps before the end isn't something you see ever, really. But I mean, all this reminds me of is Michael Schumacher, of course, 94-95 world champion. 96 went to Ferrari.
Sorry.
And he was there for a good four years before he won another championship.
Yeah.
You know, bitten by Damon Hill, Villeneuve, and then Hakkinen twice. And then he eventually got the championship, and then he won it for another 5 years in a row. So it's, I mean, I don't think Ferrari are quite the same as they were then. But, you know, they've done it before, maybe they can do it again.
I'm sure they'll come back. You know, if you look long back into their history, they have long periods where they just do nothing, and then when they come back and win a championship, apart from 2007, I've just suddenly remembered, they do then tend to be the dominant one for a number of years before it reverts back to the old pattern. So it's been, well, 10 years next year since they won a championship, so it's got to be due. But I don't know, there seems to be lots of strange things going on at that team over the years. So many staff disappearing, come in, then leaving, and different drivers going, and they seem to be persisting with sort of Raikkonen, which kind of questions their ambition, if you like. It's a bit strange. I don't really know what's going on there.
And speaking of comebacks, of course, McLaren, they're kind of showing it. And it, like, a few times this season, like Alonso this race was fifth, which is pretty incredible, like the fight back he had. I think Button got ninth as well, so they got double points finish, they've picked up. But are they going to be front runners next year? Because I mean, just the last race, Alonso was talking about the Honda engine and saying, yeah, still not that great, because they were really nowhere in, like, back in Japan. And then yeah, they've gone to America and they seem to be similar anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they have sort of said that recently, that Honda has put in quite a lot of overdue updates to the engine and have got it more reliable, more powerful. I think they're still some way behind the sort of front runner Mercedes or a Ferrari engine, but yeah, I think with the sort of the changes next season, I think they're kind of the sort of that point sort of system or token system they have with the engines. I think it kind of allows all of the teams to close up if they want to, so it might be more of an even playing field. But yeah, they certainly seem to be coming along quite well. I mean, that was probably Alonso's best race of the season to finish in fifth. I think he started back in I think he qualified in the top 10, didn't he? So I think he must have made up 4 or 5 places, but certainly to come through in fifth was a pretty good race really for him. And Button did fairly decent as well, because he didn't have a very good qualifying, I seem to remember. And I think he came through to 10th, I think, or 11th.
9th he got into in the end.
9th, yeah, in the end, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, much, much better. They can kind of keep going at this kind of rate. You know, who knows, after, I don't think that they'll be fighting for wins next season, but could potentially be looking at sort of a mostly a podium finishing team, a bit like Red Bull are now. They could yeah, be at that sort of level. Who knows, we'll have to see.
And of course there was talk of Ron Dennis leaving McLaren this weekend. I was quite surprised to hear, because he's been there for so long. But then there was talks of Ross Brawn replacing him, and you think, wow, if he comes back, that could be quite interesting, of course, with his previous Mercedes links and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit strange, really, because, I mean, I saw it announced by what looked like him, that he was retiring and leaving his position and selling his stake in the company. And then I saw another newsreel that sort of said that they denied any of this. I thought, okay, what's going on? And then you got the rumours kind of flooding in that he definitely is going to be going, and sort of Ross Brawn was the one to replace it, who I sort of thought had, after leaving Mercedes, had decided that that was the end of his Formula One career, if you like. So who knows? I mean, that could be a dream pair up, really. Could be. Yeah.
And that'd be quite interesting as well. We're thinking back to like the 90s when Ross Brawn was actually at Ferrari and doing all the work there, and of course his kind of main rival was Ron Dennis, I suppose. So it'd be interesting if he actually does replace him, and whether he kind of has those memories thinking back to that time.
And also, there's another interesting fact, if nobody out there didn't already know it, or yourself, Rich, the chief designer at the time with Ross Brawn, who designed all of Schumacher's championship winning cars, is now the chief designer at, see if you can guess it,
Red Bull.
Mercedes. It has been it? Since Lewis Hamilton's been there.
No.
So basically, yeah. So he's the Italian, as Alberto Costa, I think is probably how you pronounce his name. It might be slightly wrong, but around about that. But he designed all of Schumacher's championship-winning cars. He stayed there up until I think about 2012, and then with Ferrari's general sort of bizarre sackings of various people when things don't go right, he was one of them, and Mercedes grabbed him.
I was expecting to be Adrian Newey or something like that, but I never knew that. That's a fact of the episode. Yep. They're right there. Yeah. Okay, so I think Michael requires us next to go through the of the weekends. So, shall we start with driver?
Driver for me, it's kind of, I was closely thinking about Ricciardo for a solid drive. But then when I thought about it properly, Fernando Alonso, terrific drive with what he's got underneath him. We've already sort of talked about that, but that's for me driving the weekend.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think the only other guy I would give it to is Carlos Sainz Jr. Because he held off Massa for lap after lap. Who, I mean, after seeing that, you can see why Massa's retiring, to be honest. But you know, Carlos Sainz, he was on older soft tyres. Okay, he was, you know, they're slightly quicker, but he just managed to hold on. And I mean, Kvyat had not a great weekend, and he kind of made some points up for his team anyway.
I'd agree with that. Sainz did have a good race actually, but Fernando Alonso for me on that one.
Yeah, fair enough. Team of the weekend.
It's kind of a tricky one really, I suppose, because I can't really say Red Bull, because obviously they had one retirement. Ferrari, they had a bit of a muck up with Raikkonen. I suppose you could kind of say probably really sort of go, I suppose Mercedes really is a bit of a dull option, but they got the job done, didn't they, really? And I mean, they got picked at the starts and they managed to recover that back. Hamilton's engine didn't blow up, so I suppose you have to give them the team of the weekend, I suppose, really, for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they're the only team other than McLaren to actually get both cars in the top 10, I think, which is quite strange saying that for McLaren, but I mean, I would like to say them, but then being fifth and ninth isn't really McLaren territory. They want to be top five with both cars, but yeah, the only other team we had at Mercedes, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Pastor of the weekend.
I think, unless I've missed something really terrific, I think you have to go for just generally Ferrari pit crew, or maybe that one mechanic, or if you want to say generally the team let him down, but Ferrari in generally for that horrible mess up.
I just want to say Ferrari because they're not winning races and showing us what they should be, really.
Yeah, I mean you could give a worthy mention on that one to Verstappen actually for potentially misunderstanding or hearing strange things in his ears about coming to the pits when he clearly not meant to be. But yeah, I'd go to Ferrari on that one.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's good. Yeah, I'd agree with the Ferrari.
Guys, can I just say that my pastor of the weekend is for everyone who tweeted or however you vote for the infernal thing that Max Verstappen should be the Formula One official driver of the day on the race day in Austin. You guys need your head checked. What are you doing? Sorry, I've just had that bottled up all this time. Carry on.
And the last one, highlights of the weekend.
Highlight of the weekend, it's a bit of a tricky one, really, because I think there was no one particular moment that I could sort of think of that kind of springs to mind, really. I mean, the start was pretty consistent from everyone, as you... we've kind of mentioned. I don't know, really.
I think the only one I can think of which really was a highlight and actually made me smile and laugh was Alonso, when he got past Sainz, I think it was, and it was like the penultimate lap or something, and he gave it the yee-haw coming around the last corner onto the straight.
Yeah.
And it was just like, he's still got it, and it was just brilliant. It was just hilarious.
Yeah, I think we'll mutually agree on that one. We'll go with that one. Yeah.
We'll go with that. Yeah. I think that should be a new, like, a little section to stick in there. Like, we had Vettel's radio message from earlier in the season, but we need Alonso's now.
Yeah, but bear in mind, I have to edit all this down for future radio, and Michael does as well, so I don't think we want to expand on, like, too much more.
Maybe just those 3 seconds, that'd be fine. Okay, and as it's back-to-back racer, I think we should also talk about Mexico a bit. The place, the home to sombreros and...
Burritos. Tacos. Quite like Mexican food, actually, but we're not talking about Mexican food. We're talking about the race. Nico Rosberg won it last season, didn't he? Lewis Hamilton came second. I think that was one of many races at the end part of last season where it was kind of that result, but... I think, is this the second year?
Second year
that we've been coming here. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a track, not necessarily because of last season's result, but I think it's a track that might suit more Rosberg, whereas America, we just talked about, definitely suits more Hamilton, as we've seen with results. But I kind of suspect... that it might be more Rosberg's weekend in that sense, unless something drastic happens. But yeah, generally, I thought like last year the race wasn't too bad from what I can remember. It's one of those kind of new tracks where, you know, it tends to take a couple of seasons sometimes before people kind of really get the gist of it and so forth. So
yeah, I mean, I suppose we've got two Mexican drivers on the grid this year because we've got Perez and Gutierrez.
Yeah.
So I mean, there could be some more fans there, but it was packed last season, which was amazing to see as well for like a new race, because I remember for years Malaysia, they were giving tickets away for free because they couldn't fill the place.
Yeah, and even still in China, the government pays you to go watch the race. That's been happening for I think a decade or more now, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of strange, really, because, like, you know, there's kind of a big passion for motor racing throughout America, but you don't necessarily tend to think of Mexico. But then I think we used to come here in the 90s or 80s or 90s, didn't we?
Yeah, because the circuit was a redesign from that, yeah. Basically. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So there's obviously, like, history there, so it's obviously they must be similar to sort of Americans, really, who enjoy their racing, because, I mean, it was... Yeah, last year it was packed right out, wasn't it? You know, a pretty good atmosphere. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I know Michael always likes to talk about Hungary looking like a surfing camel or a camel on a skateboard or something. But I always think this new track layout for Mexico looks like a swan. So maybe we'll get that in there somehow.
Yeah, I think I'd have to look at a track map to remind me of what shape things look like. I can generally remember the first couple of corners, but... and any penultimate ones.
It's also not dissimilar to Monza to look at, except it's kind of got a maggots Beckett's complex almost in there as well. So it's a cross between Silverstone, Monza and somewhere else, really. Its own track, but...
Yeah, a multitude of some of the best tracks there. So, yeah. Is it one or two DRS zones? You have to remind me on that.
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
I want to say two, I think, but I might be wrong. We're going to check that one out. Yeah,
Michael can Google that and no doubt cut in now and tell you.
You're keeping me busy, Rich, very busy. I can confirm there are two DRS zones, one on the home straight, one after turn three on the second straight. And yes, it does look like a swan if it's upside down and has been hit by a rock, so that it's floating upside down a bit like an iceberg. There you go.
So it is time for predictions. So do you want to go first, since I introduced that? Do you want to go first with predictions?
Yeah, I'll go first. I've got mine written down as usual. I've gone a bit crazy, as I often do, but you never know. They might come off this week, unlike every other week. But the first one I'm going to say, it won't be a Mercedes 1-2 race finish. I think someone else will get in there. I don't know why, but just to spice things up. I'm going to go both Mexican drivers to score points. Both top 10 finishes, just for the theme. I'm going to say the race winner as well will do a donut in the stadium section. Because there's a stadium section they go through, and I'm going to predict the race winner will do a donut there, because it will be something, you know, incredible with all the fans around. I'm going to say this one, the podium hats won't be sombreros, is my next one. Last year they had sombreros with the 1-2 and 3 on for the podium hats, like they had Stetsons in Austin that time, but since Austin they changed back to baseball caps. So I think for this time they're going to do that, just because they're being boring. But yeah, and the last one I'm going to say, someone will have a first lap puncture. So that's my usual five predictions. That's probably all be wrong.
Good,
but
predictions there. I like that. With listening to those, I just realised how unbelievably dull mine are. So I'm now going to leave the pub. No, I won't. Right. So I've been largely dull, but in hoping to score a bag full of points, which I need. So I've gone for battle of the teammates purely. No other predictions. Just battle of the team. See if I can predict who's going to finish ahead of each teammate for each team. So starting from the top, as always, with Mercedes, I've predicted Hamilton ahead of Rosberg. This is all in Sunday, by the way, just to clarify that. With Red Bull, Ricciardo ahead of Verstappen. Ferrari, Vettel ahead of Raikkonen. McLaren, Alonso ahead of Button. Williams, Massa ahead of Bottas. Force India, Perez ahead of Hülkenberg. Toro Rosso, Kvyat ahead of Sainz. Haas, Grosjean to finish ahead of Gutierrez. Renault, Palmer to finish in front of Magnussen, which would be good. Sauber, Nasser ahead of Ericsson, and finally at Manor, Wehrlein ahead of Ocon.
Sweet, because I think yours is like top of the prediction league, aren't you?
I am. Last that I knew about it, I think I had a 2-point lead. I don't think I did very well at the last race on predictions, and I'm fairly confident that Carl didn't put any in. So I might have saved myself a bit there, hence why I've gone for some big ones this week to get some big points. And hopefully Kyle doesn't listen to any of this and doesn't do any predictions, and then I can really get ahead and hopefully go on and win it. That's my plan.
That's fair enough. I'm still hoping for a top five finish, because I think I'm sitting in fifth, but we'll see. But Michael will no doubt have an update for everyone. But I think that's it. We talked about America, we've talked about Mexico. So I think that's it. We made predictions. So yeah, I think that would be it from the two of us at the Rush Cutters today. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your evenings, days, mornings, whatever you're doing. Enjoy the race.
Enjoy the race. That's it from us. Ciao.
Bye.
Well done, Rich. Well done, Steve. That's epic work, and I appreciate it. And we'll hopefully be back with a full-on normal podcast, of course, on the other side of Mexico. And if you want to keep in touch for the podcast feeds and what have you, then the handle is at the NRF1 on both our Facebook and Twitter pages. So give those a like and a follow and come and say hello. And of course, if you want to email us, you can email nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Just before we go, I should get my predictions in now for the prediction league, because as Steve said, it's a crucial time of the season, and you heard how seriously he's taking it. So I will just say that I am going to predict a Lewis Hamilton win. Nico will be on the podium. Sergio Perez will finish ahead of Nico Hülkenberg, but Romain Grosjean will finish ahead of Gutierrez for Haas. So that's a mixed bag for the Mexican drivers, and McLaren will once again be in the top eight. Don't forget, if you want to get your predictions in, to go to the Facebook or Twitter pages, get them in there. All we ask is that they're in before the start of FP1. on Friday. Enjoy the race, enjoy Mexico. Hopefully we'll be back for a normal podcast where we're all around a table having fun and I sound a little bit more human. Until then, good night.